good to see everyone this morning, and good to be in a warm place on a cold morning. And I was, yesterday morning, pretty cold yesterday morning. Snow was flying. And I told my little wife, I said, honey, this is wonderful, isn't it? I said, the fireplace warms me on the outside, but this warms me on the inside. So the next time you're cold, just get warmed up. That's all I can tell you. We're in the book of Jude. Now, we've went over this quite a bit. So I'm going to look for somebody to raise your hand and quote me the first four verses. You sound like that energy secretary when they ask her what her plan was for more energy. Yeah. Or you sound like the vice president when she was over there in Romania laughing. So no one. Okay, that's okay. I don't feel hard at you. I'll just do it again. And maybe one of these Sundays, you'll say, Tom, I got it. Honey, there's just one chapter in Jude. And that's my assistant right there. That's who's going to take my place if something happens to me. That's worse than Kamala. You thought I was in Mark? Are you taking your medicine? God. The book of Jude is about apostasy. In fact, it's called the Acts of the Apostates. And now, it's not called that in the Bible, but it's called that by some theologians, and I couldn't argue that point with them. I couldn't argue against it. I couldn't argue for it. That's just what they say. But it starts out by giving you who's writing it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Thought you couldn't quote it.
I'm reading.
Oh. And the brother of James, to them that are
sanctified
in by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, grace unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to talk about apostasy. Now, what would you most need multiplied to you? Now, everybody knows it's good to add, but it's a lot better to multiply. 3 plus 3 is 6, but 3 times 3 is... So multiplication is a lot better than addition. And so he says, grace, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and this is just a statement, I'm not being critical or judgmental, wouldn't it be wonderful if this place were packed out and people could hear in this day of turmoil that we're in, that God offers grace, peace, and love multiplied to you. Now, how much grace and peace and love do you get when it's multiplied? You can't. It's like in Revelations where he talks about thousands of, tens, thousands of thousands of thousands. And you say, well, how many is that? More than you can count. More than you can number. That's why it's called an innumerable number. It doesn't matter, Shirley, what comes into your life. And this little lady right beside you can tell you now what it's like, because her brother is gravely ill. But you know what? Grace. Will be multiplied to her. However much she needs, it's going to be there. That's why I say, wouldn't it be wonderful if the place was full? Because that would mean that God has more people to where he can multiply grace, peace, and love. Now, then he says, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. But it was needful that I write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, do you know now why he said grace, peace, and love be multiplied to you? Because he says, I'm coming over here now, he says, you're going to have to fight. Fighting's no fun. I've had a few. Been whipped more than I've won, I guess. But he says, don't go into the fight without knowing that I've got as much grace, peace, and love as you're going to need. What was it David said? The battle is the Lord's. You know, I think that's our problem sometimes. We're trying to fight it. And we wonder why we lose so much. It's his. And I can tell you this. He's never lost. I know your word. I know that. I know your word. A lot of people in here are worried. God hadn't lost a fight. God hadn't lost a battle. God hadn't lost the war. He says, I've already won. I'm victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Well, what's left? Nothing. So he says, I wanted to write to you about the salvation and tell you about heaven and tell you about how wonderful it is to be saved, but you're going to have a fight on your hands. What was the fight? Oh, he says, for somebody crept in. Who? Two words. For certain men have crept in unaware. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. But before he says that, he says something else about them. He says that they were preordained. Now, we're going to talk about that this morning. He says they were preordained to this condemnation. You're going to see as we go through these verses, you're going to see that condemnation. Not condemnation of man. That's why I tell you numerous times, when I say something, I'm not judging anyone. I'm not condemning anyone. I can't judge anyone. I can't condemn anyone. God can. And God's going to. I thought I heard an echo in here. Couldn't tell.
One time she makes noise.
He says they were preordained to this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of God. Now you have to go back up there to what he multiplies to us, his children. He multiplies it to us. They turn it into something it's not. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. We're going to talk about that word. Ekklesia is the word in Greek. We're going to talk about it. Into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that in and of itself is worthy of condemnation. But there's a lot more after that. But Let's start there. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, there was three people in the Bible. Well, more than three, but I'm talking about in the New Testament now. Three people that told about the false prophets coming. Now, would anyone want to venture a guess on who the three people are? Huh? Okay, one was Jesus. Where's that at? I'll tell you what, son, she's sharp. You better watch her. You better keep your eye on her. She's sharp this morning. She's been taking that Gino Canobly. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15, I believe it is, Jesus said this, beware. Now, somebody give me a synonym for beware.
Watch out.
Huh? Okay, now I got watch here. There's more than one.
Be alert.
Huh?
Be alert.
Be alert or be on guard. Now, see, look, when you're in a fight, if you're not on, you got to keep your guard up. But we used to call it keep your dukes up. Now, most time I didn't get mine up high enough, evidently, because, oh, God. That hurts. I can remember it now. But he says, beware of false prophet who come to you in sheep's clothing. You remember I told you when it says they crept in unawares, and I said they don't come in with a big sign on says, good morning, I'm an apostate. I'm here to get you to depart the word. Well, you'd say, well, get out of here, fool. No, they sneak in. Stealthily. Now, everybody knows what stealth is, don't you? That's the planes we've got now. You know, they cannot be detected by radar. So they come in and nobody knows they're coming in. That's not good. If you're on the other side of it, it's good if you're on that side. But that's what he's talking about. They've come in now. And Jesus said, beware of them. Be on guard. Now, how do we get on guard?
In the Bible, in the Word.
Listen, if you're not in that book, you're not on guard. You remember I read you in Jeremiah where it talks about the watchman? And he said, look, now, if you're the watchman in the tower and you see the enemy coming and you warn people and they don't hear you and they come in and get killed, that's on them. I won't require it of you. But if you're up there and you see the enemy coming and you don't say nothing, they're going to die in their sins, he says. But I'm going to hold you responsible because you weren't on guard. You weren't doing the job I gave you to do. Beware, he says. Now, who would the next one be, would you think? Well, I'll give you a hint. He wrote almost all or the most part of the...
He wrote most of the...
My assistant says, Paul, honey, the way you teach is you let them answer. See, that way you know they're learning. I'm trying to help you.
Well,
so when you take
I'm
over for me...
I'm trying to tell you know what I remember you saying about, I don't care how many sixes you had. You're going to make, you'll never get to seven.
That's in Revelation. We'll talk about that later.
Oh,
she's over in Revelation now. She's Paul says he was leaving Ephesus now. You remember? And he was out on the shore. And he said, now, brothers, upon my departure, ravening wolves are going to come in. Beware of them. The same thing Jesus said. Be on guard. Oh, stay in that book. If you stay in that book, a wolf can't come in here. A wolf can't lead you astray and then devour you. But if you're not in the book, you know, it's amazing sometimes, and I don't say this. Look, I probably do it, No, I don't probably do it. I do it. Sometimes I say stuff off the cuff and I don't even know what I'm talking about. And I see people going like this. or I hear the preacher say something, ain't got a clue what he just said. Amen. We laugh. But I ought to be careful what I say. He ought to be careful what he says. And we ought to be careful when we say amen.
Amen.
Because that's being on guard. Now, who would you say the next one was that warned about it? Now, you should know this one. I have talked about this one several times. Starts with a P.
Peter.
Thank you. It's in Peter. And Peter says that there were false prophets in that day, just as there will be false teachers in this day. Peter says they're coming. Remember I told you that? And Jude says what? They're here. Jesus said, beware, they're coming. Paul said, as soon as I leave, they're coming. Peter says, they're coming. But we better realize they're here. And we got to be careful who comes through those doors to say, thus saith the Lord. But they're not the only ones that talked about it. Because there was quite a lot of people who lived prior to when Jesus walked on this earth, and Paul walked on this earth, and Peter walked on this earth preaching. And so if you would, look, we're going to just take a little trip down memory lane because I've given it to you. You should know it. But I know now that you don't know the first four verses, so I know you wouldn't know all I'm going to give you just now. We'll do it again. You know, and pretty soon, it's going to hit home. I've got someone in here secretly reading the book of Jude every day. Every day. I got them reading it every day. In 30 days, they're going to be totally surprised on how much they knows in the book of Jude. Now, with that being said, look, if you will, at Isaiah. Isaiah. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 8. First, we have to know, when he says it was preordained, they were preordained to this condemnation. Remember that I gave you? That's in the verse in Jude? Well, preordained just simply means, it doesn't mean that God, in his sovereignty, predestined these apostates to be apostates. Judas did not have to be an apostate. But he was written about centuries earlier that he would be apostate. And that's what the word preordained simply means. It just simply means it was pre-written. This condemnation. God's been condemning apostasy since the beginning. And he's always going to condemn apostasy. And I want you to not only know that it was predicted, but it's serious. God is very serious about apostasy. So, in Matthew chapter, what did I say?
Isaiah.
Yeah, what did I say?
Matthew.
Oh, well, okay. I'm not in Matthew. Isaiah. Well, Shirley, one of these days you'll get that way. So, but I won't look at you with disdain. I saw you looking over your glasses at me. Oh, now she's pushing them up. Look, if you will, at verse 15, chapter 8. And many among them shall stumble and fall, be broken and be snared and be taken, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? I don't know if you noticed in the news this past week, the leader of Russia, Putin, he is constantly consulting with shamans and wizards. That's where he gets his instructions. Just report it. I think I told you one of the reasons that they say he invaded Ukraine was because Ukraine had broken off from the Russian Orthodox Church and had turned to Christianity. And he felt it was his obligation and his responsibility to bring them back. Now, I don't believe that's the only reason that he did it. I think he's power hungry. I think he wants to prove a point. But my point is this. He's an apostate. Because if you seek to anyone other than God, you have turned, you have forsaken, you have departed from the Word of God. You know, and I say this, look, maybe you do it, maybe you don't. That's your business. It's my business to tell you not to. Don't look in the paper at that nonsense about Libra and, see, she knows them. You know, let me see what my horoscope is today. We might not think much about that, but God thinks a lot about it, folks. It won't send you to hell, but it'll dishonor God when you do it. I wouldn't do it for no reason, because that's what they did. If you don't believe me, just hang on. I'll show it to you again. Now, so he says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards and that peep and that mutter. In other words, you know what muttering is, don't you? It's saying something that makes no sense that nobody can hear or understand. But sometimes our leaders do that and make us think that they're talking in wisdom. They must think we're the most stupid people around. I've never heard so much word salad in which they talk for 5 minutes and my wife will say, what were they talking about? And I say, well, honey, I'd answer you, but I don't know myself. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is... File that. That'll come back in Jude. Not only is there no light in them, Jude says there's no spirit in them. Well, you can't have light if you don't have the spirit, and you can't have the spirit if you don't have light. Look, if you will, over at just the next chapter 9, verse 13. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Now, is that not apostasy? In other words, they don't turn to God. They turn to these people that look unto wizards and shamans. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led are them that are... You know the bad thing about apostasy is? the apostates are not only the ones that's going to be destroyed. It's all of the apostates who follow them, who believe them. There's only one thing to believe. The Word. Not the Word of man. The Word of God. It's the only reliable thing. And that's why I've told you over and over, that's your faith. Your faith is not just something that you dreamed up. Your faith is based on God's Word and God's faithfulness and God's truthfulness. Look, if you will, at chapter 47. We'll begin in verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures. Is that not what the New Testament says? That in the last days men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else. Somebody sort of paraphrase that for me in a very simple sentence. That's good. That's good. But what it's saying is what you said and what you said. But to me, here's what it says. I'm good enough. Who else? Remember when Moses said, who shall I say sent me?
I am.
Yeah. Well, what did they just say? I'm my own God. I don't need God. Why would I need God? I'm my own God. I'm good enough. My righteousness is good enough. I know God says it. It's filthy rags, but that don't mean anything. It's I'm religious. I'm a good person. What a clash.
I know it.
Are we fine? Something. I didn't want you to break out in a country song. Kind of
that is not a country song.
It sounds like it. You sound just like Loretta Lynn. Therefore, what's that therefore? Because of your attitude, because of your actions, because of your wickedness, therefore shall evil thou shalt not know from whence it, and mischief shall fall upon. I'm reminded of a message that Brother Gene gave just, I think, 2 weeks ago, in which he told the story of a couple in church. Heard the message. A note, was that it? They found a note. We won't do it tonight. I don't know those people at all. But they said, there's none beside I am. We don't need what we just heard. And that was fulfilled. Therefore, evil shall come upon you, and you won't know from where it riseth. My brother Dave tells a story, a very similar story. My dad's told stories like that. I'm sure my brother Dan's got stories like that. But my Dave tells my brother Dave tells a story when he was at Riverview. And this young man was there that night, and Dave said he could see him as he gripped the back of the pew in front of him. And his head was old, and you could tell he was troubled. And as he came out, my brother Dave was at the door. And he said, "I'll be back tomorrow night, preacher." Two miles up the road, he was gone. You say, "Tom, don't try to scare people." That's not to scare people. Folks, look, when it says what it says, it means what it says. You never know when you turn and go out the door. Apostasy is serious. Look, this is just me now. I don't run out and say I taught this. This is my opinion. You have yours. It'd be better for a person never to come in here than to come in here lost and to leave lost. Because each time you do it, you get a little harder to reach. Until one time, you're unreachable. And you may live 30, 40, 50, 60 years after that, but you're just a dead person walking. Because God says, if you do it, if you forsake me, if you turn from my word, if you think you're good enough, evil will come upon you, and you won't know from where it riseth. So apostasy is very serious, isn't it? Very serious. Look, if you will, at Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, Isaiah was what? Isaiah was a prophet. Another word for prophet is a preacher. A prophet just simply preached the future. Right? Well, today, a preacher just simply preaches the future. No different. The difference is Isaiah got it directly from God. A preacher today gets it directly from God, but in the written word. It's not different. It's not watered. It's not changed. It's still God's word. And it still needs to be preached and taught. Now, what did I say, Ezekiel? What? Okay. Well, honey, I lost my place. I don't know where I'm at now. Look, if you will, at 12. Then said he unto me, "Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us. The ancients." Remember, he said earlier, the ancients, I'm going to cut them off at the head and the tail both. Well, who are the ancients? Starts with a P. Next layer's H. Prophet. The prophets. Well, here's what the prophets say. The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. Then he brought me into the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and beheld there were women weeping for Tammuz. God not only found false religion in the church, he found it because there was false preachers in the church. Anyone remember the seventh church in Revelation? Laodicea. And if you'll recall, it begins with Ephesus. And from Ephesus through Laodicea, each church, except for Philadelphia and Smyrna, are on the decline. What was it Paul said to the people at Ephesus? Upon my departure, ravening wolves shall come. Was he right? Well, he had to be. Because Ephesus went, he says, for thou hast left thy... That's a decline, folks. And it declines. The church age is on a decline until it gets to the last church age. And it gets to Laodicea. And Laodicea says the same thing. I am. He says, you say that you're rich and have need of... My goodness. What kind of message is that to hear in a church? What kind of message is that for a preacher to stand and say, well, we don't need anything. We got everything we need. But no, the true and faithful witness, what did he say? Well, let's talk about this, he says. You don't know that you're wretched. In other words, you ain't rich. You're wretched. You're blind. Which one is true? God's word's true, folks. But how did they become that apostate church? Came right out of the pulpit, folks. Apostates, you remember in Genesis, the Bible says that like produces, you know, I wish the world understood that. I'm just teaching. Y'all can be mad at me. I don't care. Make any difference to me. You can say, Tom, you're judgmental, critical, and everything.
You're right.
People that say a gay person is born that way, that's apostasy, folks. Mm-hmm. I don't say that with hatred. God says like produces like. Well, you show me two gay people that can produce a gay child. Bless God, and I'll believe you. But until you do, I ain't going to, and you never will, so I never will. Like produces like. An apostate teacher will produce apostate people because they are preaching and teaching an apostate word. And God ain't funning. Evil will be set down. I don't say that with if you understood. I felt inside when I have to say that. You know, I say that with great compassion and love. But folks, I'm telling you right now, bless God, they're going to hell. Look, if you will, at Zephaniah. I don't know where. I'll just have to wait till I get there. maybe it's not Zephaniah, maybe it's Hosea. I think Hosea 7. I'm lost right now. And the pride, verse 10.
I'm sorry?
Verse 10.
What chapter?
7. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. What is that? That's apostasy. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net. Why? Is God a horrible person? Well, he wouldn't be just if he didn't cast the net on him. I mean, if you can just go your own way and God don't care, well, he's not a just God. He's only just if his word is true. His word is only true if it comes to pass. Remember, he said, not one jot, nor one tittle. That's a cross T and a dotted I. Well, that's pretty fine. I mean, that's pretty much everything, right? Not one jot nor one tittle shall pass away until all. A-double-L-L. All be fulfilled. So when he says, I'm going to cast a net on them, I wish to God this country would realize that. I'm telling you, you can say whatever you want, believe whatever you want. That's your business. I'm just teaching. This country is not going to return, folks. Because we've turned from God. And I'm telling you right now, we will wake up one morning and evil will be cast over us like a net. And we'll be done. I mean, sometimes we get the idea that we're the best in the world. There's no nation like us. I would sort of agree with that in the sense that a lot of people want to come here because it is a really good place to live. But God ain't seeing it that way. God only sees it his way. We are becoming an apostate nation. And if we think for one second God's blessings are going to be on an apostate nation, we're sick and sad. Now back to Jude. For certain men have crept in unaware. Preordained to this condemnation. Now I just showed you what that's talking about. God, listen, it's not something new. God's been telling forever. You turn from me, you turn from my word, I take it serious and I'm going to deal with you. And Jude is saying, listen, I wanted to write to you of salvation. That's wonderful. Boy, we could have a shouting time. But I'm going to tell you the truth. He says, you're going to have to contend for the faith. Hold the faith up. Everybody hold the faith up. Listen, the faith is not what you dream it is. That's the faith right there. And if it's not according to that, it's not faith. It won't hold you when the world's on fire. It won't, they can talk over you all they want to at your funeral and say, oh, they were a person of faith. Not if it's not according to that book. It's not faith. You died lost. That's not something I get. Please understand, I don't get joy out of saying that. But folks, we got to get to the truth of it. We got people in our families. If they die, they're going to hell. We can't, and it'd be too late to get up and say, oh, I remember when we used to ride around together and we used to do this, and boy, you wouldn't believe how good a person they was and why they'd give you the shirt off their back. But folks, if they didn't know Christ, they ain't got a shirt on their back. It's burned off. Because in hell, they will lift up their eyes being in torment. That's the result of apostasy. That's the result of being an apostate. That's the result of turning from God and from the Word of God. But he describes these apostates now. They are ungodly. Well, everybody knows what un means. Without. You say, oh, so they're not in the pulpits. Oh, sure they are. And they even talk about God. They don't know God. They're ungodly. Why do you say that, Tom? Because God says it. Hey, if you don't like it, take it up to him. See how that works out for you. Just wait till you get in front of him and say, now wait a minute, God, I had a few questions about your word. They're ungodly men. You know what else they do? They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now here's the idea of that. Filthiness. Here's what they say. Oh, I'm under grace. I can live any old way I want to. God will forgive me. For by grace, through faith. What does that mean? It's God's grace. And it's God's word. For by grace, through God's word, are you saved. But Paul says you can't use that grace as a... How many of you drive? How many of you drive good? But to drive, the law, and I realize, hey, not everybody goes by the law, but according to the law, you have to have a license. Thank you, Dwayne. You read lips, don't you? I forgot about that. He doesn't do sign language, but he can read lips. It simply says this. The law permits you to drive. You have the right to be on the road to drive. Well, in the same way, these filthy men teach that God's grace gives you the right to do whatever you want to do. They're like those in the Bible that believed that the body was evil and the spirit was good. Therefore, it didn't make any difference what the body did. It was evil anyway. Well, that's not what I read. What I read is this. That the body is the... Now, come on in. That's okay. You're not bothering me. I got 2 seconds and I'm done. Is the body the temple of God for an unsaved person? So you can go ahead and do whatever you want to. Huh? Because you ain't the temple of God anyway. Live any way you want to. Act any way you want to. Talk any way you want to. Believe any way you want to. But when you're born again, when you're blood washed, When you're bought with a price, bless God, now your body is a temple of God, and I guarantee God cares what you do with it. And if you don't believe that, just try to abuse it. You may hate it, the fact that you did. I'll pick it next week.